But if you allocate 90% of your time to do that, you're actually not unlocking the best potential of your team. You really want them to perform deep technology risk assessments and influence the right outcomes to your business. So every second that I save is like an hour gained for my team.
Hello, hello. It's Jacob Hill with GRC Academy. Today, I'm here with Mr. Kenneth Morris. Kenneth, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Jacob. Nice to virtually meet you.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much for coming on. And folks, if you're enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to like, comment, share, subscribe, review, all the things. Helps me out. Thanks so much in advance. Kenneth, tell us about yourself. How did you get to where you are today?
I started working on a lot of computer science related subjects. I enjoyed learning computer science, but gradually I wanted to do a lot of live projects. So I worked with a startup, building a lot of e-commerce, building a lot of rapid web development projects using LAMP Stack. I really enjoyed building the front end aspects of web applications. I generally love playing with colors, design. So it made sense. Did it for 4 years during my college. But eventually, I got really paranoid fixing bugs in the middle of the night. So I just realized that I can't do this forever and ever. And I wanted to figure out what could be next. And that's when I got an interesting opportunity at KPMG. That's a renowned accounting and consulting firm. They wanted to build a new service line to convert all of the knowledge that they have within the cybersecurity space. But again, I bounced to the same problem. Like I'm still coding and my... whole purpose of moving out of the startup was to not code. And that's when I started to see an interesting areas of projects that KPMG were working on. And that were, in simple terms, they were working on ethical hacking and penetration testing related projects. And this is something that I never knew when I was at working, studying during college. And this seemed really interesting, like finding ways to bypass business logic, finding ways to create havoc. And just the fact that this field required to use a lot of your creative skills, ability to constantly learn different ways in how you can attack different systems, application, infrastructure, networking components. And I was fortunate to work on these projects on very high profile cases for over 4 years. And that really helped me understand technology really well. What can go wrong with technology? What are the business impacts if these systems are not really configured well? And during this time, I also realized that there are a lot of different aspects of cybersecurity, the people and process aspects, which I really wanted to understand what they were like. So I got really good opportunities to audit high-profile technology companies, financial institutions with their complex technology stack, and do a end-to-end IT general controls audit, and also perform a lot of outsourcing audits, technology vendor assessments and outsourcing reviews. There were a lot of organizations based out of US that they were outsourcing very critical operations in different countries, right? This gave me a really good 360 view in how different companies implement cybersecurity differently based on their business model, based on where they operate. But at the same time, I felt like these projects are super quick, right? You go onto a client, wrap up the projects in 1 or 2 months. By the time you really go deep and understand their challenges, you're out. And that's when I joined Adobe. I was already familiar with Adobe because I was using all of their products. It just became very easy to connect the dots. So-and-so products, they're solving XYZ problems. This is how they generate the revenue. And this is the technology components that power these products, right? I also figured out that no matter how awesome you are in building your cybersecurity program, if your cybersecurity program doesn't resonate to the intended stakeholders, so you have lost half of the battle, it becomes very important that you can articulate your cybersecurity strategy, the decisions that you take, and the defense in depth strategies that you have taken to protect consumers, or it could be your customers, or you could have multiple different stakeholders, and how do you use different strategies to protect their critical infrastructure in the cloud. And that led me to the field of SOC 2s, ISO 27001, going on a lot of customer audits. So that's how I branched out into the C aspect of GRC, right? So I was involved in a lot of technology risk management, the R. Then I worked a lot of on C. Adobe had a massive data breach. They were able to extract the passwords, credit cards, and it was a very hard time at Adobe. The leadership trusted me to help with the relevant investigations and remediations, and most importantly, also articulate what we did to remediate the situation and improve our cybersecurity process. So that's the trust element of cybersecurity. So had to work with many international regulators. They have every right to be mad at the situation because a lot of their citizens' personal information was out, right? So we had to help them understand that we are really serious about getting this right. So at that point of time, we really had to also comply with multiple international regulations, industry standards. And that's when me and my team at Adobe started building something called Adobe CCF. It's essentially a strategy where you really understand various industry best practices and condense it into a handful of requirements. And if you do that really well, if you principally understand what are they asking you to solve, and if you articulate those internal requirements or safeguards, you automatically end up meeting compliance, like in a more smart way. So that we implemented Adobe CCF, and Adobe CCF was really helped resonate our story that we are really serious about implementing best practices, helping articulate our story to regulators. So that's when I was involved in a lot of external conversations and eventually moved to Meta to help them build their GRC program for the enterprise products. I really enjoyed my time at Meta. Finally, I got this opportunity to build a team, GRC team at Plaid. And that's where I really understood what does it take to build an entire GRC program. How do you staff? How do you essentially strategize your GRC program to meet the objectives of your organization? So that's all the different experiences just piggybacked on each other. One thing led to other. And here I'm at Plaid and I'm happy to share any insights that you would like me to share.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. Tell us about Plaid.
We help connect a lot of financial infrastructure to digital finance. Okay. So what do I mean by digital finance? You have a lot of innovation happening within the United States. You have a lot of crypto products. You have a lot of PFMs, like personal financial management apps that are building unique insights based on financial data. Plaid is that infrastructure that connects these digital finance products to financial infrastructure. So we are the infrastructure that connects all the 10,000 plus banks that you see in the United States. You have this community banks, you have this mom and pop shops that provide financial services. So the financial infrastructure is very decentralized in the United States compared to certain other geos in the world. We need to play that important role of connecting digital financial infrastructure, and that's where is our core strength. So that's a quick and easy way to interpret Plaid.
Let's dive into the pathways into GRC. And what does it take to get into a GRC role? What's a good starting position? You know, what is the path that people should take?
That's a really great question. This is just my strong personal opinion. I would really prefer whoever starts their career in GRC, they start with good technical exposure. Like they can start with any role. They can start with a software engineering role. They can start with a third-party risk assessment role. They can work on different aspects of cybersecurity. They could work on incident response, right? Mm-hmm. There is no first ideal move. That's what I say. Like, you need to put your foot somewhere within cybersecurity and have a curious mind to pivot very quickly. Like, if you understood a good aspects of incident response, to move quickly into, say, understanding cloud security. So you need to spend your first few years, I would say, doing a little bit of lot. So what I mean by that is essentially gain a holistic understanding of what does a cybersecurity program comprise of, right? Like, you may not be able to work on all different projects. You wouldn't be able to work on incident response. You wouldn't be able to work on regulated response. You wouldn't be able to work on vendor assessment all within a short span of time. So use your first 3 years to essentially, one, gain as much diverse experience and exposure you can. That is by either taking on more projects, extra projects, being more curious, like asking your peers, like, hey, what are the projects that you work? Like, what is going to happen if you don't do your job? Like, what is at stake, right? Understanding what are the foundational pillars of cybersecurity is important. Whether you work on all of these individual pillars or not, But you taking a keen interest in understanding why detection and incident response is important, why risk management is important, why is supply chain risk management critical, understanding the foundational blocks, either through self-knowledge discovery or actually working on this project, will really help. That is the first 3 years, right? So once you've gotten that good understanding, that's when I would suggest somebody moving into either audits or risk management. There's no right or wrong way doing it. So essentially, eventually gain different experience and exposure over here. Like in my case, a simple example, not to say that the path that I took was the best and ideal, and I want everybody to take that. But the concept is you need to build diverse skills like pen testing. Like I did pen testing for a while, but while I wear my hat as a GRC leader, I don't perform pen tests on a day in or day out. But I need to be able to advise the business, like, why have we not performed an external pen test versus an internal pen test versus a code-assisted pen test? Like, you need to understand the differences, and in order to advise, you need to have your foundational strongs. So get your foundational strong as much as possible by working on different programs and projects.
So we have a lot of folks who want to get into GRC and they want to focus in on a framework, but they don't know which one. Should they go with ISO? Should they go with NIST? Like, you know, how would they make that decision?
Grab whatever opportunity you get. At the end of the day, all of these frameworks have a foundational concept, like have your foundational cybersecurity capabilities built. Like, for example, every framework, every standard is going to tell them you need to have robust audit logging, right? So whether you take NIST CSF or you take ISO 27001 or DORA international regulations, the foundational concept is going to remain the same. So spend time in understanding like why logging and monitoring is critical, what to log versus what not to log, what is a good mature logging and monitoring infrastructure program. So grab whatever opportunity you get and use that opportunity to go deep. And eventually what you'll realize is you might find a nuanced expectation for your organization. For example, if you're in the business of moving money, you might end up pursuing NYDFS 500. And NYDFS 500 might tell you that, like, hey, not only you need to log, but you need to log this logs for 3 years, right? Okay, so the concept is the same. You just have to keep on adding your knowledge and understanding and supplementing it.
Well, you talked to us about building a GRC team at Plaid. So tell us some of the lessons you've learned over time.
So all the different experiences and exposure that I've had over a period of time just made me realize that GRC is a unique skill set within a cybersecurity team where you need to wear multiple hats. I'm not saying that other roles do not need to have, you need to wear multiple hats, but especially a GRC team, the amount of context switching, the amount of projects and programs a GRC team handles is generally much bigger than other counterparts. Mm-hmm. So what do I mean by that? Although the foundational skills remain similar, but you need to apply them under different contexts, performing risk assessments for your products, for your infrastructure, performing risk assessments for outsourcing parties. So the concept is the same, but the assessment audience changes. So again, there is a lot of different nuanced assessments that one needs to perform. And again, writing policies that really make sense for your organization, something that resonates, something that really helps drive organizational maturity. And most importantly, even compliance, your compliance obligations keep on changing based on the new products that you launch, new countries that you operate in. So you always need to operate under a lot of changes and you need to be able to operate at speed. But ultimately, this is just my personal opinion. What really helps, makes a GRC professional a great GRC professional is your ability to articulate technology risks in a way that makes sense to your business. So what I really mean by that is your business counterparts need to understand the ramifications of these technology risks with respect to various business decisions that they take. Like these cybersecurity risks could slow down product adoption, could have a lot of negative PR. The risk can stem up in multiple dimensions. But ultimately, if you're not able to convince, if you're not able to articulate what can go wrong, and whether it will go wrong today or like 10 days down the lane or like 10 years down the lane. And having that ability to convince somebody, influence these next steps is a very, very important and hard skill. And that is a skill that I really index a lot on. And for that, I strongly do believe having a good experience and exposure, diverse experience exposure helps, right? Like I even when I looked at your profile, Jacob, like you've done a bunch of IT administration work, bunch of different certifications focusing on different aspects of cybersecurity. And you need to have that breadth. You do require breadth so that you can connect the dots really well. At the same time, you also need a specialization. So this is what makes GRC complex. You are expected to have a lot of breadth and you need to have pockets of depth. So that's the reason, based on my experience, this is how I have strategized my team at Plaid. Like, I've identified core competencies and skill sets. One, do I have someone who is extremely curious, who can always challenge the status quo? Are you sure? Is there a way I can bypass this? Why would you not bypass this? Like, are there genuine reasons why you would want to bypass this control? So somebody, you need a person who has a real curious personality, right? And it's really hard to gauge this personality traits during interviews. So right. For me, I need a person who doesn't trust the status quo, can challenge, can research, can stress test assumptions really well. So I would typically allocate this person mostly performing risk assessments. And B, you really need somebody with a pretty good data analytics skills. Like, lot of decisions are taken based on data, and you don't want to take cybersecurity decisions just based on your hypothesis, right? Mm-hmm. You feel about it. Sometimes you need to make those decisions based on your intuition. There's nothing wrong with that, based on your skill, based on your experience. It's totally okay to do that. You cannot do it all the time. Having somebody who can really crunch the data, analyze the data, and take data-driven decisions. So that's two. And three, based on the type of projects, right? Like, as I said, like cybersecurity also involves evangelization of your program. So you need somebody who can really make these concepts less complicated and articulate it to your stakeholders. It could be your auditors, it could be your partners, it could be your customers, it could be your regulators. So you need somebody who can really articulate a lot of decisions, business decisions, product strategies, and your cybersecurity maturity, connect all the dots really well and explain it externally. So I'm definitely looking at somebody with business skills, not just cybersecurity skills, and a extremely strong, somebody who is a much better communicator than me. That's my bar. Like, they have to be significantly better than me if they are going to continuously interact with the external customers and stakeholders, right? So, like, it is hard to find all of the skills, right? You need curious mindset, you need data analytics, you need to have a strong foundation. So that's where you make the trade-off. Like, you make sure your team collectively has the skill set, and based on demand, you use people to their strengths. And that's how you build a good team that comprises of really strong performers. But again, strong performers will only be strong performers if you complement them with the right technology and essentially enable them to be more effective at their role. So providing them the right tools, providing them with automation capabilities or like GRC platforms, or providing them with AI-based tech to make their life easier becomes very critical. You don't want your team spending 90% of their time filling questionnaires by your customers, right?
Hey everyone, Jacob here. Let me tell you about today's sponsor, Vanta. As the number and severity of third-party breaches continues to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta questionnaire automation, compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, Smart Recruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Experience questionnaire automation with a self-guided product tour, no sign-up required, at vanta.com/GRC Academy. That's vanta.com/GRC Academy. Thanks and enjoy the rest of the episode.
You don't want your team spending 90% of their time filling questionnaires by your customers, right? It's an important thing because it helps you win deals. It's important for the business. But if you allocate 90% of your time to do that, then you're actually not really unlocking the best potential of your team. You want really want them to perform deep technology risk assessments and influence the right outcomes to your business. So every second that I save is like an hour gained for my team, empowering them with the right tools, technology, and sometimes even support, like when there is a lot of burst programs and projects, complementing them with additional staff from time to time. Like a lot of these techniques help you keep a lean and very, powerful is not the right term, but essentially very lean and agile team to execute for a fast-paced environment. So complementing smart people with technology and putting them in places where they can really excel allows GRC teams to be great GRC teams. And one thing that I've learned through my experience at Plaid, you need to have a holistic understand of your business. What I mean by that is, one, the person who joins the team really needs to understand all the different places where the GRC team contributes. So that means just assigning them to perform vendor assessments, or just assigning them to perform incident response, or just assigning them to perform audits sometimes doesn't work. Like one of the strategies that I use is, no matter who I hire for my team, whether they have 1 year experience or 10 years experience, I make sure they, for the first 6 months to 8 months, they rotate across all different projects within my team. Like, so everyone knows what everyone else does and what works, what doesn't work. By the end of 6 months, they can confidently say that, like, these are all the places that we suck. We don't do it really well. And I think so, I can solve this problem. And that's when your team can be really successful at what they do.
Well, that was a lot of great information. I really appreciate the insights, especially on building the GRC team and those three kind of competencies that you gave. I think that's really valuable. So thank you for that. Another question, when we talk about GRC, right, we've referred to risk, we've referred to compliance. On the governance side, it seems to me, and tell me if you think I'm right here, that it really would be helpful to have more senior people involved on the governance side, because they have to bring a wealth of experience working within organizations, understanding how to affect cybersecurity policy and change. But also, I feel like that is where the connectors of the dots really need to be. Do you think that's right?
That's right. And initially, getting those opportunities to focus on G is relatively less. It takes a little time to get the right experiences, projects, opportunities to focus on governance, because it takes time for you to build that maturity in and really understand the business and build the skills to influence how to prioritize your cybersecurity strategy and what to report to your senior stakeholders, staff, your board, and also vice versa, understand what is your board worried about, right? There is no hard and fast rule, but governance-related projects generally require a lot of decision-making and providing very crisp articulation, prioritization of your program, setting the direction, and having senior folks work on the governance aspect of your GRC program is definitely useful. But again, you don't have infinite number of senior people in cybersecurity. Even people with like 1 or 2 years experience can work on a lot of governance related projects. But again, I do agree that you need little oversight, especially on the governance aspect of GRC.
Previously, you mentioned your regulatory response activities. Can you talk to us about what really goes into a regulatory response plan and maybe how it's different from traditional incident response planning and who's involved as well?
Working with regulators is a totally different ballgame. You don't have a second shot. You have to get it right on your first attempt. That means your ability to quickly gather facts, make sure and validate the accuracy of the facts, and also articulate in a way that really resonates with the regulators is super critical. And at a lot of times, you have to up-level the technical jargon. You will need to really explain a lot of the concepts, the decisions that you have taken in a very simple and honest way. And that requires you to collaborate with your engineering team, your data analytics team, primarily your legal team, your staff, because at a lot of times you really cannot make any mistakes when you essentially respond to your regulators, and you want to work with them in good faith. And your business relies on a lot of regulatory decisions that do take place. So they need to know that you're working with them in good faith And even if you screwed up for whatever reason, you are serious about mitigating it and fixing it. And you have taken very intentional and careful moves in order to address the core issue at hand. I would say it is similar to a lot of audits, but the stakes are exponentially high. And the amount of due care and due diligence that is needed in order to assemble this regulatory response requires a lot of organizational context way beyond what you would typically need for your traditional audits. A lot of audits are scoped to certain subsystems and certain processes. And when it generally comes to a regulatory response, you have to connect a lot of your business decisions, business strategies with your technology investments and the direction, and connecting all the dots does take a unique skill. And essentially, most of the times, regulatory response do trigger on generally for two reasons. One, you want to influence a new regulation that is favoring your business, or it just helps you expand or accelerate your business. That is one part of regulatory response. The other part of it is something went wrong, like intentionally or unintentionally. And you need to go back to them and tell them exactly what happened, how did it happen, so that that knowledge can be used to help reduce similar risks across United States or similar kind of organizations. For example, while I was at Adobe, as I said, like we had a massive data breach and we had to essentially explain to the Irish regulators, the Australian regulators, the US regulators, and almost every country where Adobe operated. And each of these regulators had a different view, different way in how they wanted to analyze and evaluate our response. So it required to really understand their intent and what they really wanted to get out of these conversations, and tailor your responses to each of these different regulators at scale. That was one of the first occasions where I worked with a lot of international regulators. The second time was at Facebook. There was a unique bug. I don't know whether you recollect this story, or a story is not the right word, the event where certain sophisticated attackers chained multiple bugs within Facebook, and they were able to extract the access token of users, and they were able to essentially log in as any other users. And it was quite complicated. I believe there were almost 50,000 users data that was compromised as part of that attack chain. And it was quite complex. Somebody had to spend a lot of time and energy to connect multiple different dots, chain these attacks together in order to execute their payload. And you cannot explain these complexities to regulators, the technical jargon, the exact chain of events. It becomes very hard. And abstracting all of this to a level where we can explain the sequence of events and why did we miss not detecting it timely, and the measures that we are taking to fix this at scale, and the speed at which we are going to respond, all of this needs to be connected really well with a strong legal argument. A single and or can create a mess. You need your legal counterparts are really required over here to interpret your legal obligations, your regulatory obligations. So you're going to work at insane speed. And that is what really, in my opinion, differentiates from a regulatory response versus a traditional SOC 2 or ISO 27 audits, where you have an opportunity to course correct, change the scope of the assessment. You have a little bit of leeway, but again, the principles are true. You need to be truthful in both the instances. Your ethics need to be spot on all of these projects. I wouldn't say that there is any comparison from those dimensions. But in general, there is much more flexibility in executing your traditional SOC 2s or ISO 27001s or similar compliance-based audits.
That's amazing. So I have some experience working with, you know, federal agencies, some response activities, but international, I never thought about that, because you come up with your story, you work with legal and all the parties involved, and then you present your story. And then, as you said, you have multiple different entities in different countries coming back to you in different ways, because no doubt their laws are written all differently and they want to make sure that their requirements are accounted for and everything. So, man, that must be very difficult to deal with.
Yes, it's really hard, and operationalizing these programs, especially for global companies, it's an interesting and hard problem to solve at scale. But regardless, you cannot get out of it if you are in that situation.
Well, this has been really interesting. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us, sharing your time. Any last items you would like to leave us with?
I would say with AI technologies really kicking off, leverage these technologies to make your vendor assessments faster, risk assessments faster, write your policies at a faster pace. Use AI technologies to build your information security program. Typically, you think that deepfakes are essentially only reserved as a problem. You can use this technology to build really interesting training. So start leveraging technology to make your life easier and essentially be a powerful force within your organization. Feel free to reach out to me by connecting with me on LinkedIn. And I love to connect with a lot of GRC professionals. Everyone has solved problems in a different way, and sharing their insights and best practices is always helpful. So, Jacob, thank you very much for this opportunity to speak.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.